Inside Afghanistan, many people are following every detail of the negotiations in Bonn. NPR's Anne Garrows reports from Kabul.
The results of the talks in Germany will be felt as far away as the barren village of Maidanshar, where local power is at stake. 20 miles outside the capital, Kabul, a commander who had backed the Taliban has now been persuaded it would be smarter and safer to go over to the Northern Alliance. This is war and politics Afghan style. One side one day, the other side the next. But at a checkpoint, the atmosphere is still tense between the local Pashtun community and the mainly Tajik Northern Alliance troops who control the access road. Mohammad Ashok is leaving Maidanshar, fearing fighting could erupt at any moment. He's sick of war. He utters what has become a mantra of ordinary people. I want peace and tranquility and a government in which all Afghans will have a part. The Northern Alliance controls the capital. Its officials have moved into all the ministries. They say all the right things about elections. But most of them are ethnic Tajiks, raising fears among the majority Pashtuns they will not be fairly represented. So far, the Northern Alliance militias have conducted themselves better than feared. The city is calm. After so many years of war, a commander from the Panjshir Valley, Arab Shah, says he and his men are ready to put down their arms as soon as there are elections. But Afghans are not so easily persuaded. This is really peace. 60-year-old Saeed Fahar Bahar plays chess with friends on the floor of an open storefront, something he would never have dared do under the Taliban, which had banned such games. While relieved to see the Taliban gone, he remembers 92 to 96 when the Mujahideen groups fought among themselves, turning Kabul into rubble. Though they are now united under the name of the Northern Alliance, he remains suspicious.
Our people is very nervous for the Mujahideen. We don't want the Mujahideen because they are not good in Afghanistan. They take money and take the other things and do a very bad works in Afghanistan.
His chess companion, 26-year-old Andar, agrees.
I doubt about the peace. I think we will have difficulties in the future.
No matter what their ethnic group or political views, Afghans are hard-pressed to point to any one person they consider a leader. Until elections can be held, Saeed Fahar Bahar says the former king, backed by the United Nations, is the only one that can unite the country. But Afghans are divided over the introduction of yet another foreign force. And as for the king, at 87, some say he's too old. Others say the king and his family are too liberal. At issue is what kind of Islamic law will be imposed. Under the Taliban, the Office of Vice and Virtue was one of the most feared. It enforced an extreme interpretation of Islam. 35-year-old Mohammad Wazir Razi, who now oversees the office, displays the leather whips the Taliban use to punish offenders. He promises in the future this office will guide Afghans in a gentler understanding of Islam. But women are still waiting for a formal announcement from a new government that will dispel any doubts about their right to attend university, hold jobs, and use public transportation. And there are fierce debates not just about the king, but about the role other exiles should play. Afghans who've remained here for the duration resent longtime exiles determining their future. At a Kabul hospital, women doctors are incensed. Most of the women attending the German talks live abroad. They say their chief should be there instead, because unlike the affluent exiles, she knows the real situation here. And what she knows all too well is that her staff hasn't been paid in more than 5 months, more mothers die in childbirth than just about any other country, and life expectancy is a mere 46 years. Anne Garrels, NPR News, Kabul, Afghanistan.